Okay, go ahead and start with the first session. The first session is predictors of non-compliance in primary care of patients with a chronic disease. And the contributors are Dr. Roger Zura, Mohamed Sidani, Medhat Kalini, Christy Durkin, and Robert Levine. And it's from the Department of Family and Community Medicine at Meharry Medical College, Nashville, Tennessee. I have no relationships to disclose. The objectives, we are looking about the barriers of compliance among patients with chronic diseases. And we compliance, as you know, is important in the care of all patients, but especially patients with chronic diseases. They have to take the medications for years after year after year after year. And if we can understand factors better so as to remove them and improve compliance and improve outcome of healthcare for patients among patients with chronic diseases. So the purpose of our study was to investigate the predictors of non-compliance among patients living with chronic diseases. We have 267, and they were seen at two of our clinics. And these clinics are a residency-based clinic, family medicine residency. The participants have diabetes mellitus type 2, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, or obesity. They are mainly adult above 18 years of age. And they were seen at two clinics, one which is urban. It is in an inner city in Nashville. And the other one is at the Madison area, which is a suburb of Nashville. The patients were enrolled in the electronic were enrolled in the study from 2008 to 2010. We compared the effect of gender, age, ethnicity, marital status, employment, insurance, tobacco or alcohol use, the clinic location and comorbidity on the compliance. And we use mainly chi-square, t-test, and logistic regression to analyze the results. First of all, the compliance in general among all patients, we took it from 2008 to 2010. There was a change in the last year. The general compliance dropped from around 50% to around 30%. As far as gender, we found that there was gender was not found to be a predictor of non-compliance. The graph may be a little bit enlarged, but it's only 30, 36%, so it's not double or something, because it doesn't start at zero. So there was no change between or no difference between male and female. Ethnicity was not found to be a predictor of non-compliance. We had our population of patients have Caucasian, African, and Hispanic, and there are some others. Age was a little bit problematic. We didn't find any difference between all age groups except the 60 to 69, which was more compliant than the rest of the age groups. Marital status did not matter regarding compliance. Tobacco usage didn't matter also. Alcohol usage did not matter also. Location of residence of the patients did not matter, whether it was urban or suburban. The clinic, it had a difference between the Meharry, which was inner city, and Madison, which is suburban. There was more compliance in the Madison clinic. As far as the patient being unemployed or disabled, there was no difference. Insurance-wise, there was a significant difference. People who have insurance, they were more compliant than people who didn't have insurance. And it was 53.5% compared to 5.7%. It was really significant. We also looked at comorbidity. We didn't find any difference. Comorbidity was not a predictor of non-compliance. We also checked for different comorbidities like hypertension or if they have hyperlipidemia. The only thing which we found was significant was obesity. Patients with obesity were more compliant than patients who were not. These are the comorbidity and the different chronic diseases, and obesity, 40% of them were compliant compared to non-compliant. It was very significant. These are things also which goes automatically. Patients who were more compliant, they got more diet counseling and more exercise counseling. So the predictors of non-compliance, clinic location, as we said, it was people who attended medicine clinic, the suburban, were more compliant than those who attended the inner city, the Meharry. When we ran both insurances and the clinic and entered them into a logistic regression, really the clinic location fell out and only the insurance became the important factor. In the clinics, at medicine clinic, 72% of the patients were insured compared only to 48% at the inner city. So that was the factor of difference. As far as obesity, we found that those who had obesity were more compliant with their keeping their visits. It was 40% versus 10% in people who were not obese. And when we took all the patients who were compliant compared to those who were not, 93% of them were obese, whereas 6.7% of those who were not obese. Insurance, as we mentioned before, we found that not having insurance is a significant risk factor for non-compliance among patients with chronic diseases. Patients having insurance were significantly more compliant, 53.5%, than those without. Now, if we look at being compliant at any time, either 1 year or 2 years and not the whole 3 years, it went up to 94% of those who have insurance versus 36% who do not have insurance. Also, people who have insurance tend to drop out after the first visit compared to those without insurance. I'm sorry, I failed to mention that we defined compliant as having two visits, two follow-up visits within every year. That's basically it. I was very quick. So I'm open for any question for a few minutes before the second speaker. If you don't have, we can start with the second speaker. Yes.
No, we were
talking about the compliance, how if there are compliance with follow-ups, okay. Follow-up visits, yeah. Refilling medication, it depends. We have different policies. One of them, for pain medications, we do not refill over the phone. As far as chronic medications, once we need think that they need an appointment, we refill 1 month and then send an appointment that they need to come through the pharmacy and we're talking to them. And if turns away, we do the same thing. We don't keep them out of medications, but we keep nagging them and calling them to come for follow-up. Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter. Really, we included all insurances, and it doesn't matter what kind of insurance they have. To be compliant at one year only, it included Medicaid, private insurances, even Medicare. It didn't matter a lot. There was no significant difference between these groups. What we are doing is now we are waiting for the Affordable Act so that a lot of our patients will have insurance. We are looking to see if we can cooperate with community resources to go and do home visits. We have some home visits through the residency. And residents are required to do home visits, so we are channeled these into patients who are not coming to the clinics. We have tried to call and send a mail, but really we haven't been lucky. Our response rate may be 10 to 15% only. But we are looking into, as I said, into the home visits, and we are hoping that with most of our indigent patients or non-insured patients now will have some type of insurance and their attitude will change regarding follow-up visits. Anybody? Yes? No. No. What's that? Some of them may be, yeah. But we have indigent program. So if they apply for our indigent program, they will not be charged. Yes, we have that also, but it's not the federal subsidized.
So those who didn't have insurance, they're sliding fee scale?
Yes, we have that. That's the indigent program I was talking about. And some of them may have 100% free. It depends on their income. No, this was not in this abstract per se. First of all, we decided the two visits per year because of the hemoglobin A1C, because our advice to them, is to be seen or to repeat their hemoglobin A1C at least twice a year, and that's when we decided to go with the two visits per year as the compliance. Now, as far as outcomes, it was... people who were compliant, I know I shouldn't select them as a compliant because they have better, maybe they are more compliant with the lifestyle modification and other things. Yeah, we noticed a drop in their hemoglobin A1C. But if we combine all the patients, no, we were not able to reduce it that much. But in patients who were compliant, yes, there was a drop in hemoglobin A1C.